If you would, in your bulletin, there is an insert for today's message, and we are going to be doing a topical study today, and so we're not going to any specific passage for the entirety of the message. We're going to be going throughout the scripture because we're studying the power of words, and we want to see what the whole of scripture is telling us regarding this issue. And so in your bulletin, you have an insert that has all the references that we'll be referring to today as we dive into a new series on the power of words. And have you ever been driving down the road speeding? None of you have ever been speeding, right? You never go over the speed limit. But have you ever been doing that, maybe on accident? Anybody have a lead foot that you didn't even realize you were going that fast? Okay, and so you're driving down the road, and you see, what's that? Oh, she's ratting somebody else out. but you all of a sudden, you come across one of those speed limit signs that have the radar on it that shows you your speed. And the closer you get to it, it begins to flash, and it begins to actually spell out slow down. Have you ever been there before? And some of you, you could care less, and you just blow right through it. Others of you, you get a little bit more cautious. Or have you ever had the flash that comes off that you realize that you might have had your license plate picture taken? You ever had that? And that sickening feeling that comes? Or you're speeding, all of a sudden you see that special car over on the side, and your heart leaps up into your throat. There is something that happens when we realize we have been caught, isn't there? Or have you ever found yourself sending an email or a text message, and after you click send, realizing you sent it to the wrong person? And you were saying something about someone, maybe even that particular person, and no, I wish I could get that back. And you've already, it's out there, you've blown it. And the sickening feeling that happens when we realize we've been caught. Or have you ever come to realize that something you've been saying or have said to somebody in the past has been hurting them all along? You had no idea that it was, and the sobering reality that with your words you've been hurting somebody. Have you ever been there before? And today, as much as I would love this to be a pick-me-up message, this is going to be a challenging message, not only for you, but for me as well, in understanding what happens when we speak. And we would love, when we experience that sickening feeling of being caught, of realizing we've hurt somebody, we long to find a way to prevent that. I don't want to ever cause that to happen again. And so we look for prevention. We also sometimes don't realize the potential that we have with the words that we speak, because we don't realize that our words are almost like a wave or a current or a ripple effect, where sometimes we only see the initial effects of it, when in reality it spans so far beyond what many times we even see. And it influences and impacts things like how many friendships we have. I don't know if you realize, but the way you talk influences whether a person decides they want to be a friend with you, even though you just met them. They influence how close of a relationship we have with other people by how we talk, because they don't want to be around us because of how we're talking. And sometimes we think, but I'm not talking bad about them. And how many times have I told you I've had people come to me talking bad about somebody else? And so my thought is, what do they say about me when they go to somebody else? And the way we talk influences our relationships, and it even can influence the way people respond to you, the way people treat you. As much as we're supposed to love our enemies, we know that we are very much driven by our flesh at times, and people are going to treat you according to your words. But more important than that, many times our words either enable us or rob us the opportunity to impact other people. Because if we, with our words, show and demonstrate that we are not trustworthy, no one wants to trust us with their struggles. If we are unkind in our reaction, sarcastic in our reaction, nobody wants to tell us something that's of a sensitive nature. If we show with our words that we're rather foolish, then nobody wants to turn to us for advice and guidance. If we find ourselves not pure in our speech, then the worst issue or the most substantial issue is we find ourselves with the inability to lead them into the kingdom of God because they see our words of our mouth, and why would they trust their eternity to us if they can't trust the words of our mouth? And I want to give us this disclaimer as we work through this series, because there's a misunderstanding that I think has fallen away for the most part, but that whole word faith theology that we can control things with our words. And I want us to understand, you can't control everything with your words. Otherwise, we would all be millionaires because we'd be saying that all the time. Go out to eat and, Lord, $300 in my wallet. Thank you very much. But we don't control things with our words. But sometimes we diminish in a pendulum swing reaction to that how much our words impact things. Because they might not control everything, but your words impact so many of your life experiences. And we might say, well, I'm never going to get perfect. Have you ever said something flawlessly and still someone took it the wrong way? Still the person got hurt by it because whatever their sensitivities are. And we understand that that's the nature of life, that you're never going to be able to go through life not offending anybody. Jesus offended people and he was sinless. Yet, that doesn't mean I can't get better. So I might not become perfect, but do we want to get better at this? Because there is so much not only for us to gain, but for the kingdom of God to gain if we can learn to be able to manage this thing. And for some of us, that's harder than others, but to contain this thing. That's why James says that this thing, if you can control this thing, you can control everything else. And so today we want to learn, we want to begin this journey by igniting a starting point to learn how to manage our words. Because if we can do that, we open up the potential for a greater depth of relationships, a greater ability to influence people, a greater ability to impact the kingdom of God simply through our words. And how do we manage our mouths? We manage our mouths by making certain acknowledgments. The first acknowledgment is this, acknowledging our judgment. Psalm 59, verse 12, refers to the idea of the sin of our mouths, that you can sin through what you say. Ecclesiastes 5, 6 says, let not your mouth lead you into sin. Again, by how we talk, we could end up sinning. Sin is an issue regarding our mouths. And then James 2, 12 says, so speak and so act as those who are to be judged. Speak as if you're going to be judged. And Jesus further details this out in a more almost scary phrase when he says, Matthew 12, verse 36 and 37, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. What a sobering thought that every careless, frivolous word that just flew out of our mouth by impulse or emotion, God bless you. I thought I'd add, everybody's got blessing. Every single word that comes out of our mouth, when we stand at the judgment, God is going to call us to account for those words. And isn't that frightening? Everything. When you found yourself ranting to some other person, when you found yourself reacting in anger to that person on the phone, when you found yourself even at times just speaking and talking to yourself about other people and other things, you are generating something within your emotions and with your mind on how you feel about those people. And those words that come out of our mouths are retained and remembered by the judge. And all of a sudden, it's like we've been flying down the road and there is that cop car. And if we can get to a place where we're mindful of that, where we're aware of, before I speak, now this is hard for some of us to have to think first before speaking, but before I speak, to remember, I'm going to be judged for this. And I wonder how much less we will be talking if we are remembering that. And if it not, at the very least, saying things differently or saying different words altogether. And all the influence and all the impact and all the even benefits to us that we will attain by managing this can be instigated by just remembering and being mindful of and acknowledging the fact that I have a judgment. The second thing we need to be mindful of or to acknowledge is our impact. To acknowledge our impact. Proverbs 6, verse 2, speaking of financial commitments, says that they were snared or caught in the words of their mouth. Now, here is specifically referring to a financial commitment, almost like you signed a contract and you're stuck. Have you ever signed like a two-year contract with like a cable company or internet provider and then the next day realize, oh, what did I do? And then they're going to charge you $3,000 to get out. No, just kidding, not totally $3,000, but something like that. And you're stuck when you make a commitment. And we realize that when the ramifications of that commitment are very visible and direct, but we don't realize that sometimes when we make a commitment that influences how someone sees us. Because if I say, yes, I'll be there, and then I'm not there, I'm caught in the words of my mouth in that now the next time that person wants me to be there, they're probably not even going to ask me to be there because I've lost trust with them. Or if I tell somebody, no, I won't tell anybody about this, and then I tell somebody about that, the next time they want to come and seek advice and guidance and to share something sensitive, they're not coming to you because you've been caught in the words of your mouth. And we diminish our capacity for relationships and for impact because of a failure to uphold. That's why Jesus says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. If you say it, then do it. And though sometimes we might end up in a scenario where we couldn't fulfill our obligation, and yes, God could be gracious of us for that, and that's not necessarily a sin, but still, that has an impact on people and whether or not they can trust you if you do not hold your end of the bargain. And if we remember that our words are not just speaking to the air, but they have an impact, what might happen if we know that? Then it says in Proverbs 18, verse 6, a fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. And Proverbs 12, 14 says, from the fruit of his mouth, a man is satisfied with good. The way, if you are talking negatively towards people all the time, complaining and putting people down or gossiping, then you might not literally draw a physical beating towards you, but you're going to be in on the short end of the stick with things. You're going to lose stuff by the way you talk to people. Because, you know, the proverb that says a gentle answer turns away wrath? If I'm a harsh person, then at the time that I want grace and sympathy and mercy, I might find harshness coming right back at me. And again, not that I can control things, but you make an impact by how you talk to people. Same way in the positive. If I am someone who is uplifting and encouraging and edifying to people and I speak with words of love, then when I need those things back, all of a sudden I find myself on the receiving end of that benefit. I reap a blessing because of the words of my mouth. And not that every time you're kind to people that you're going to find everybody being kind back to you. See, this is a general principle. And not that every time you're nasty, you won't find someone being kind towards you, because Christ does a great thing in people's lives. And yet at the same time, you're going to find yourself reaping. What's the scripture say? You reap what you sow. And not that we can't confront or shouldn't confront or deal with issues and problems and evaluate things, but at the same time, how much grace is the, what does Paul say that our grace ought to be, or our speech ought to be full of grace and only seasoned with salt? How much salt comes out of your mouth versus grace? And then wonder when people see you coming, they run the other way. Now, I have that because I have a tendency to recruit people into doing things. Not because of the negative things I say, but your words have an impact. Listen to this thought here. David writes in Psalm 64, verse 2 and 3, he says, "Hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, who whet their tongues like swords, who aim bitter words like arrows." You know that saying that is incredibly false? Words, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And how many of you can remember a precise, exact phrase that was said to you decades ago, and you still remember that phrase? And it works like a sword, like an arrow, penetrating our soul, that to this day, some of us wrestle with insecurities, and it hinders us from doing things because of the words of other people. And we can be delivered from that. God could do a transforming work and all of that stuff. But listen, sometimes we go through talking through life and we say, well, those people just need to get a thicker skin. They need to just toughen up. Stop being so sensitive. So what I'm saying is, so that I don't have to become more righteous with my mouth, you have to become more righteous in the way you love your enemies. Is that really how, am I going to stand before God and say, God, everybody else was just too sensitive? No. Their responsibility might be, sure, to love their enemies and show kindness to those who are not kind to them. But when I deal with me, I need to deal with my part of it. And my words, understand that your words can kill a person. And I don't mean physically kill them, but your words can zap all the energy and motivation out of them, can send faith right out the window, can rob them of motivation, can therefore kill their motivation to have victory in their marriage, in their parenting, in winning a battle with temptation and sin, in fulfilling ministry and calling that God has on their lives. There have been many ministers who have walked out of ministry because of the words of a person. There have been marriages that have failed because of the words of poor advice of a person. Our words matter. And don't you want to find on the other end the depth and intimacy and value and closeness of those relationships, and at the other hand, the ability to impact and make a difference in people's lives for Jesus Christ? Your words, our words matter. And we can start to instigate this motivation to manage our words by being mindful of our judgment, acknowledge our impact, and lastly, acknowledge the power of commitment. Psalm 17, verse 3, the psalm writer says, "I have proposed that my mouth will not transgress." And then he prays this prayer in Psalm 19, verse 14, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight." And may it be that we make that commitment, because there's something to a commitment. And we've made commitments and not held to them. But there's something to specifying, I will not say something like that. When you make a standard for yourself, develop a personal conviction. I will always say this. Heather and I, when we first got married, we've determined in our hearts that we will never say the D word. You know what the D word is? Divorce. And now we were just married, so we were very happily married, but we were committed that because we have had our past experience. My parents are divorced and had a very difficult marriage, and that word was threatened all the time. And that word has devastation. We decided we're not even going to use that word. So we made a commitment with our mouths. And some of us need to make a commitment with our mouths, maybe not that precise thing, but the way you talk with your children, the way you talk with your spouse, with your coworkers, with your neighbors, with people here, that God, I'm going to make a commitment. This is the way I'm going to use my mouth. Because there's something to that when we actually verbalize that. Again, not that I'm controlling, I hope we can understand, it's not that we're controlling something, but when we put it out there and say, no, this is how I'm going to live, there's some impact that that has on me to make that commitment. That's why we have commitments all the time throughout Scripture. And then add on top of this, these thoughts. And I want to remind you, these last two verses are instructions for those who are elders or overseers or deacons. And understand that the reason why these instructions are given is so that the leaders can be an example of how everybody else should be. And so it's not that only pastors or board members have to be this way. It's that they're demonstrating for everybody the way we all ought to be. And he says in 1 Timothy 4:12, set the believers an example in speech. And in Titus 2:8, sound speech that cannot be condemned. Set an example in speech and then speak in a way that it cannot be condemned. So that means that when I speak privately to somebody, and mindful of confidentiality and those things, I'm just talking about in general, I'm talking in a private conversation, would you feel comfortable recording that conversation? And we have technology to do it. Would you? And if you ever worried about the whole wiretapping idea or the, what's that organization that taps into, listens to phones and stuff? What is it? CIA or N, there's an N word, I think. NSA and all that stuff, and we realized that we're kind of in a vacuum where people can hear everything if they really wanted to and had the brains to do it. But what if we recorded all of your conversations this week, and I'm talking about not this coming, but this previous week, and we were going to play them for the next 5 minutes here in the sanctuary? Would you have that sickening feeling of I've been caught in my words? Because when I talk, it should be a demonstration, an example of the way I ought to speak and other people should speak. And not only that, if we were to play those words or maybe even type them out on the screen, would somebody be able to point at that and say, there's a problem with talking that way? Because Paul said to Titus, speak in a way that you cannot be condemned. Now imagine how much quieter the world would become if we find ourselves acknowledging these things before we speak. But it's not that I should just keep quiet. And Proverbs does say that sometimes. It's better to have someone think, I love this line, better to have someone think that you're wise than to open your mouth. And or no, have someone think that you are a fool and then open your mouth to remove all doubt. So there is value in being silent, but at the same time, there is a necessity to speak. And so we can't just have our victory in just not saying anything. Our victory has to come in being able to speak correctly. Do you want to get to a place where you have that, again, we can receive benefit for ourselves and more importantly, benefit for others? Do you want to get to that place where our relationships are better? Our relationships are more filled with joy and love and peace and uplifting? And then do you want to find yourself in a place that you can make a difference in the lives of others and you could bring other people into the kingdom of God just simply by what you say? There's power in our words. Would you stand with me, worship team? Will you come and prepare to lead us? And again, I'm ever so mindful of the pain, as much as I enjoy preaching and teaching, the pain in it of knowing that sometimes I'm speaking forth something that is like a boomerang and comes right back to examine my own soul. And that's why the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And a surgeon, when he does surgery, if he does it correctly, might at times cause pain, does it to bring forth a better health situation for that person. And at times the Holy Spirit comes in and touches a nerve and generates pain to make us better. And today I'm going to, as the worship team prepares to lead us, give us an opportunity to respond and come down here and ask the Holy Spirit to do a work in our lives, most importantly in our mouths. If you find yourself here today, and perhaps as we're considering this, you're reflecting upon the ramifications of your words in an earthly sense. You're realizing that you've been caught in a trap and you've changed things. You've impacted things in a negative way, that you want to ask God to show you grace and mercy and deliver you from the ramifications of your past words. God can do that. Or maybe you're here today and you're wanting God to deliver you from the seeming inability that you have to control your mouth. God can take control of your tongue. Or maybe you just simply need to repent of your words. God, forgive me. And sometimes we've said harmful things in the name of God. Sometimes we've said harmful things feeling like we're doing a just thing. And many times in the name of God, we're wreaking devastation. And you find yourself needing to say, God, forgive me for my words. And if you find yourself in that place in a moment, I'm going to invite you to come. But I want to challenge you to go a step further. And most likely, if these words have to do with another person that you've said them to, or perhaps even said them about, I want to invite you to, if they're here, instead of coming down here, I want you to go to them and seek forgiveness from them. And if they're not here, then at the conclusion of the service, I want you to grab your phone and call them and repent over the words that you have said to them. Because God wants to restore, God wants to heal. Or maybe you're here and you just simply want to make that commitment, as the psalmist said, that this is the pledge of your heart, that I have proposed that my mouth will not transgress. Or that your prayer today is, let the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. And you want to make that commitment to the Lord. And in a moment, I'm going to ask you to come. And one last instruction. The reason why when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, typically the gift of speaking in tongues is what follows, is because it's a demonstration that God has everything now when he has our mouth. And if you've not been filled with the Holy Spirit, particularly with the evidence of speaking in tongues, I want to invite you on this side. I want you to come and stand in this area. The rest of you, you can kneel or what have you. But if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I want you to stand in this area. And then those of you who have been filled with the Holy Spirit, I want to invite you to come and lay your hands on them and believe that God's going to fill them with the Holy Spirit. Because if we want to manage our mouths, what better way than to have the Holy Spirit take control of our tongue? And God wants to do a work. Amen? Amen? Do you want to have that? Do you want to have all of that stuff, the better relationships and the ability to impact and bring glory to the name of Christ because of the way we speak? So let us have God do a work in our hearts this morning. Come, if you will. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that victory that you give us. And Lord, we ask that as we head into this week, Lord, it's so easier at times to let our mouths be guided by peace and our mouths be filled with love and truth when we're in the midst of a loving, comforting, strengthening environment where there is at times a lack of friction. But we know we're going to walk back into a life, into a world that's dark, that's hurting, that's filled with friction and hate and animosity. And we're asking you to help us to, despite being in the presence of those things, that we would not be caught into it, but that our words would be words of life, love, grace, edification, truth, that you would help our words to be pure and pleasing to you. Because, Lord, we want this world to love you as we do. And so, Lord, forgive us for the times that we don't demonstrate that with our actions as well as our words. And help us to be a true demonstration of the love of Jesus Christ by the way we act and by the way we speak, so that your name will get glory. We ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen.